Welcome to this edition of My Car Guru. This is a live edition, not some warmed over rerun. I've been sick. I mean, I have been fighting it. I mean, not like deathbed sick, just not feeling good. And last week, Abby and I had to go to Birmingham, Alabama, and shoot some TV commercials for 6 months. 6 months. That's 14 TV commercials and a couple special announcements. So, yeah, we try to take advantage of that opportunity when we can to knock out a bunch of them so we don't have to go back and forth and back and forth. So that works out pretty good. But, folks, I still probably sound a little congested, and my taste buds have not totally returned to normal. I did get tested and was negative, but you never know. Maybe I have... I could have alpha, beta, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, xi, omicron, pyro, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, psi, or omega. Yes, that is the Greek alphabet. I had to learn that when I was at the University of Tennessee going through fraternity rush. Yeah, I was foolish enough to do that. But, you know, I guess it was worth it. I got to go through it with my brother. So that was helpful. We both pledged at the same time. Would I do it over again? No, would not. But we did. And, you know, once you get into something like that and they're hazing you and beating you over the head with dead chickens and stuff like that, you're just too proud to quit. And then they call you brother when you get done with it. So, you know, it's really just a very odd thing. But that's just the way it works. Thank goodness we don't have to do that when selling in cars or buying cars. You don't have to get beat over the head with a dead chicken. Although sometimes you may feel like it with some of the rigmarole that a lot of dealers put you through to buy a car. You know, I've seen it and experienced it myself in certain circumstances, just watching behaviors of people over the years. You know, the problem with professional retail automobile sales professionals is that there just aren't many. There's a lot of guys and gals out there selling cars, but they are the furthest thing from professional that you can imagine. And you know it when you see them. You know, you run into the person that is very cordial and polite and knows how to meet and greet a stranger. Answers questions, looks you in the eye, answers questions directly, gives you plenty of information, and teaches you something, you know, helps you learn about the product so that you can make a wise decision. And then they don't play a bunch of games trying to, you know, when it comes to getting you a price. That's the way it's supposed to be, and that's just not the way it is in a lot of stores. It's a game. It's a positioning game, trying to position the customer in a mindset that allows you to maximize your, you know, first to sell the car, because you don't make any money if you don't sell the car, and then to, you know, position yourself so that you make money. And, you know, today it's a different game, as we all know. I've talked about this on the show until I'm blue in the face, but it is different now. It's something I've never seen in the 43 or so years that I've been doing this, is I've never seen a market where the demand is so much higher than the supply of product, and it's going to continue in certain ways. Now, some of you may be grateful about that because you won't have to worry about the thing that a lot of people say that they fear the most or dislike the most, and that's negotiating. Because you know, you really, when it comes to buying a lot of new vehicles out there, negotiation of the price is not really a part of it, because a lot of dealers won't negotiate on the price, on the sale price. Some will, some still will, we still will. You know, it just depends on what we have to do and you know, what the particular product is. Then you have the trade-in, though. See, the trade is still a negotiable item, and it's not etched in stone. A lot of dealers try to make you think it is, think that, well, just because it says that that's what Kelley Blue Book says it's worth, that's all we're going to give you for it. Or they start deducting, and or NADA, National Auto Dealers Association Guide, That's kind of a yellow book with blue print on it. You know, you always heard about the blue book. Well, that was Kelly, obviously. Then there's the black book. Well, what the heck's the black book? Well, the black book was a book that was put together. Well, really, it wasn't available to the public. It was just for car dealers, and they monitored auction prices and retail sales prices. And they would, matter of fact, when I would go to the auction in Nashville or Atlanta or Statesville, North Carolina or Mannheim, Pennsylvania, you'd see these little guys walking around with a jacket on, and on the back of it, it said Black Book. And so they're going around monitoring all the pricing and evaluating cars for condition, because you still had clean, good, average, and rough. And so, you know, you could come up, you could see all these different values, but if you weren't able to classify a car and determine, you know, what class it fell into, then it wasn't very useful to dealers. So what is clean? What is average? What is good? What is rough? You know, these are all considerations as far as mileage and condition. You know, as I've said many times on this radio show, there's three things that determine the value of a used car: mileage, condition, and market demand. And right now, market demand is really good for people who own cars and really bad for car dealers, because car dealers have to go try to go to the auction and buy these cars, and it just makes their eyes pop out of their head because they say, well, that's more than retail was 2 years ago. Well, get over it. You know, prices of used cars or values of used cars have gone up 40% in the last year. So good for you. Bravo. Now, you have lost, you know, factory rebates. We've talked about that. You've lost a lot of discounting, but 40% in value is a significant amount. And gosh, there's some really good cars out there right now. It's just that many of them, you're going to have to order, you know, to get it. We're up to 149 sold orders. Like I said, we would normally have two or three in a given month because we sold everything out of stock. I mean, that was the model back then. Dealers would order more cars than they could sell in a month, a lot more, probably more cars than they could sell in 3 or 4 months. You know, trying to keep somewhere around a 90-day supply of cars, and that's just not the way it's going to be for a while, possibly for the next 2 years, possibly forever, if some of the manufacturers have their way. And you say, well, why wouldn't they want to produce all these extra vehicles and have them sitting on dealers' lots? Well, because they don't want to have to incentivize consumers to buy them when they sit on the lot, and you have a whole lot more supply than you have demand. You know, if a manufacturer doesn't have to put a $5,000 rebate on something, then they can make $5,000 more when they sell it. And if dealers don't have to negotiate as much on the sell price of new vehicles, then dealers can make more as well. Now, the problem is the volume is way down, and that's what's squeezing dealers right now, is the lack of volume. And, you know, you can't just go to the auction and make up your lack of new car inventory with used car inventory, because you go to the auction and there's a third or 25% of the vehicles there that were there before. I mean, I used to go to the auction. There would be, well, in Statesville, for example, there'd be 18 lanes or I can't remember exactly how many lanes. I think they have 18 or 20 lanes going at the same time. Imagine a small one or two, a single lane road, okay, and it terminates inside of a garage door. And so you've got 20 of those going at the same time. So 20 different lanes of cars all moving and going through a individual garage doors, and inside is an auctioneer in each one of those lanes, trying to keep track of, 50 to 75 dealers in each lane raising their hands and bidding on cars. That's not the picture now. You go to the auction now, you might have 8 or 10 lanes going, and instead of lasting all day till 3 or 4 o'clock, you know, these auctions are over at before lunch. And a lot of the bidders just aren't standing in the lanes. We don't want to get Omicron either. So they're, you know, standing at their computers or sitting at their computers and watching as the inventory flows past their screen and bidding on it. You know, when I go to the auction now, I see I'm, or at least I'm bidding online, I'm bidding against CarMax. I'm bidding against Hertz and Avis. They can't even get cars from the factory. Hertz and Avis and National Car Rental and Enterprise, they never bought cars from dealers. Well, they bought through dealers, yes, but they were new cars, okay? They weren't used cars. Now, they can't get enough new cars from the factory. They're standing in line just like dealers are, and they're waiting. So they have no alternative but to go to the auction, and they're buying dealer trade-ins. I mean, I've had Enterprise and a couple other companies call me saying, can we buy your new car inventory? They want to buy my Escapes and Frontiers and Altimas and stuff. And I said, no. And the thing is, they're willing to pay over MSRP for anything that I've got in stock. So I've got all these wholesalers. I've got dealers right now that are sending me messages every day in my email. They don't call. They just send messages. They'll pay anywhere from $3,000 to $15,000 over window sticker for certain things that I have in stock. Just about everything. They won't for like Ford Edges and a few of the slower movers, but for stuff like F-150s, you know, I could sell. Well, I don't have that many, but I could sell every F-150 I have in stock for $5,000 over window sticker right now to a car rental company or to another dealer. Now, we don't sell them for that much to individual customers. You know, and you may say, well, Lenny, why wouldn't you do that? Doesn't make any sense. Money is money, right? Yeah, but when you sell a car to a car rental company, they'll never bring it back to you for service. They never buy any more. They don't replace any of the other cars in their household. They don't send you their next-door neighbor and their cousins and their children and stuff like that. You know, I've always been in it for the long-term relationship, and most dealers are, you know, unless they're one of those grinding dealers that, you know, they come in, they buy a dealership, and they don't care who they make mad. They just want to move the iron and make as much money as they can, and then they put their dealership up for sale and say, bye-bye, market. So, you know, that's just the way everybody has a different way of operating, and I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying that's their model. That's what they do. And that's just not me, but that's, and not a lot of the dealers. There are some dealerships changing hands in the Tri-Cities right now. I don't know if you've heard any rumors or not, but, you know, I'm not going to get into that, but you're going to see some new names, new faces, in the very near future, really starting in February. Big one got taken over. And so you're going to see some different type of advertising, different type of business. Hopefully it's all legal, ethical, and above board. That's what we like to see. We don't like to see the bandits come in and start lying and cheating and stealing. That's just not good for anybody. That's not for good for customers, and it's not good for the competitors as well. We'll take our first break and be back here in just a minute. Okay, I am back. You know, you might be interested to know how things shook out for 2021 as far as sales are concerned. You know, there was a streak going with General Motors as the top-selling automaker in the United States. You know how long that they were the top automaker in the United States? Well, since 1931. Toyota just knocked them off. They finished 2021 as the top-selling automaker. That's not going to last. It's just a pandemic kind of an issue. But Toyota was able to keep manufacturing vehicles longer than General Motors was. They were better prepared to handle the chip shortage initially, and so that's what pushed them over the top. Hyundai Kia actually outperformed Honda. You know, that just freaks me out. They moved into fifth place for the first time. Still trail Ford. Ford was number three. Stellantis, do you still not know what that is? That's Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. It's called Stellantis. It's owned by Peugeot, I think. They were number four. So all of them suffered. Despite a difficult fourth quarter for most automakers, BMW of North America, American Honda, Hyundai Kia, Jaguar, Land Rover, Mazda, Mercedes-Benz, Mitsubishi, Nissan, Tesla, Toyota, Volkswagen and Volvo improved their full-year sales over 2020, which 2020 was really rough. 2021 turned out to be a good year for the auto industry. And it's not because volumes were up, because they weren't. They were down, but profits were definitely up. Tesla cemented their standing among the top luxury brands. I don't know why they call them a luxury brand. I've ridden in Teslas. There's nothing luxurious about it. But anyway, Tesla passed Lexus and Mercedes-Benz and gained on BMW. Audi was a distant fifth. Do you consider Tesla a luxury car? Have you been in one? They don't even know where to put the instrument cluster. But anyway, that's just me. Also, quality issues haunt Tesla, but they don't care. People who buy them, because it's electric. And that makes them feel really good for some reason about themselves and their position in society. That's probably being a little rough. You know, there were some first ever wins. The Dodge Challenger actually beat the Ford Mustang. And the Toyota Sienna, for the first time, outsold the minivans from Stellantis. That's Chrysler. So anyway, many of these gains, according to Automotive News, are going to be short-lived because of the hard production choices that automakers were forced to make last year due to supply shortages. You know, if you according to J.D. Power, they say if you choose not to build something, it's pretty hard to sell it. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of jostling, and it's going to continue into this new year. So we shall see what happens. Oh, I have to tell you this. Abby and I were headed down to Birmingham, and, you know, the weather was pretty good going down. It was awful coming back, but going down, we had a nice little cruise, and there was a Tesla that was in the passing lane and just cruising down through, and I came up on him, and he's obviously not getting over, so I decided to go around him on the slow lane, supposed to be the fast lane, and went around, looked over. He had his arms crossed. His hands were not on the steering wheel at all, so he was using his autonomous driving feature. And, folks, he had his cell phone right up on the dash in front of him, and he was watching a movie. And I sat there and just beside him for just a second and just, you know, I'm shaking my head. Now, are you supposed to do that? Well, the answer to that question is no. It is illegal for you to watch movies in the front of your vehicle. If you do that on a regular basis, you are breaking the law, and you are also doing something that's very not smart. You cannot react fast enough. Your mind has to shift gears to a panic stop or something like that. You know, you're just not prepared for that. And and even in a Tesla, you're supposed to be attentive and keep your hands ready to, you know, put it on the steering wheel. You're not supposed to be watching a movie. Doesn't matter what the movie is. I don't care if it is Raiders of the Lost Ark. You should have watched it years ago. You know, it's just not smart to do. I was going down the road when we came back. I took Abby to her house, came back, was going back to my house, and my phone rang, and I could not find it. It had fallen down between the seat or something. So here I am going down the road, Tuscan Boulevard. I'm reaching and trying to turn on my overhead light, and all of a sudden my warning light comes on my dash, and my truck stopped on its own. If it hadn't, I would have completely consumed a little Honda Accord, because my focus was not on the road. My focus was trying to find that overhead light. So, you know, true confessions here. You know, here I am talking about how you need to be attentive, you know, when you're driving. And now that I can honestly say that is the first time that that has happened to me, that the car has saved me. You know, I've been fortunate enough to, knock on wood, to be able to regain my senses and put my foot on the brake before I ran into somebody. This time I had no time. I didn't stop myself. The car did. Thank goodness for that. I'm going to take my last break and be back here in just a second. Folks, this new technology, it'll save you. It saved me the other night. It's not 100% foolproof. But I think these active safety systems are definitely great. The self-driving thing, you know, maybe that's going to happen. I don't know. I just can't imagine it being foolproof. People are going to still be required to pay attention. But, you know, why have self-driving if you have to watch the road and keep your hands on the steering wheel? That makes no sense to me. You know, I'll just do the driving. It's fine. You know, you can't take a nap. You can't read the newspaper. You can't do anything. Why do I need the car to drive for me? That makes no sense. But obviously this guy in this Tesla thought that it was okay to watch a movie while he's going down the road. If you see somebody doing that, I don't recommend you shoot out their tires or anything. You know, you get in trouble for that. Maybe give them a real serious case of stink eye. I don't know. You know, it's just some people are going to break the rules. Whatever the rules are, they're going to break them. And so, you know, it's best just to just move on and get it out of your head, right? Instead of just sitting there pondering how ignorant they are. But this is just something we have to deal with. But I am somebody who has just most recently made a real stupid decision and decided to take my attention off the road and try to turn on a dome light that I wasn't familiar with. Folks, just be careful. Buy as modern a car as you can. Buy something that has active safety on it with automatic braking. That is such a great feature. It just proved itself to me. Cross traffic alert will save your life. These are things that I think that we need to pay attention to and take advantage of. Again, my name is Lenny Lawson. I'm the car guru. You can call me anytime you want to at 423-552-2020. Send me a text or an email, LennyLawson2020@gmail.com. And I'll be glad to answer your car-related questions, and we will see you tomorrow.